Welcome to the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I'm bailiff Jesse Thorne. This week, Commedia della Morte. Jesse brings the case, not me, against his dad, Joseph. Joseph insists that his children hire a mime for his funeral when the time comes. Jesse insists that a funeral is a time for grieving, not miming. Who will win, who will lose? Only one man can decide. Please rise as Judge John Hodgman enters the courtroom and offers the obscure cultural reference.
Family hurts us. It is like a trap. It shortens our life. It bothers us psychically and socioculturally. It forces us into a limited level of consciousness. It robs us of our essential self. It inculcates ideas in us that are not our own. And at the moment when we find ourselves in the world, all of this collapses and we have to build a life from scratch. Generation after generation, each one is victim to the one before. Bailiff Jesse Thorne, swear father and son in.
Please rise and raise your right hands. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God or whatever?
Yes, I do.
I do.
Do you swear to abide by Judge John Hodgman's ruling, despite the fact that he will have no funeral, as he will never die?
I do.
Yes, I do.
Very well, Judge Hodgman.
That's right, because mime has made me immortal. Just like Marcel Marceau, who is not dead, just in a state of very quiet suspended animation. Jesse and Joseph, you may be seated for an immediate summary judgment in one of yours favors. Can you name the person that I quoted as I entered the courtroom? I'll give you a hint. It's a mime. One of the most quotable mimes of all times.
What mime isn't quotable?
Joseph.
Just the other day, I was preparing a commencement speech, and I said to myself, how can I open this? And I thought, Marcel Marceau once indicated that he couldn't get out of a box.
To start a commencement speech with a mime quote is a little bit, you can't hear this, but I'm touching my nose right now. I'm a little bit on the nose.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Joseph, you are the father of Jesse. You were dragged into this courtroom by your son against your will. To make funeral arrangements for you because you're nearing death. As such, you get the first chance to guess at the personage and mime that I was quoting as I entered the courtroom. You can guess first or you can make your son guess first. Which is your choice?
I'll guess first.
Ooh, all right, then. Joseph, guess away.
Stanley, the Polish talking mime.
Jesse, what guess do you give as to the mime, or meme, if you will, that I quoted as I entered this courtroom?
The only name that I thought might be close was Ron.
All guesses are wrong.
Okay.
You were going to guess Marcel Marceau, right? The only famous mime.
My second guess. George.
Oh, what was your premiere guess?
Ram Dass, but he's not a mime, so that can't be right.
Why would you guess Ram Dass?
Once you said mime, I realized I was wrong.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, so
I was going to guess St. Thomas Aquinas, but when he said mime, I thought it could still be right. But that's where I went wrong.
Ram Dass, it's not a bad guess because Ram Dass, of course, is an American spiritual teacher and sort of countercultural self-help guru. And in addition to being a mime, this person also practices a kind of a spiritual healing course of what he calls psycho-shamanism. But he is best known, even though he trained as and acted professionally as a mime for a number of years, he's best known as a filmmaker and comic book writer, and his name is Alejandro Jodorowsky, the Chilean-born filmmaker and director of El Topo Santa Sangre, and of course the most famous film version of Dune that was never made. Alejandro Jodorowsky, and he studied as a mime with Etienne Ducroux, who also taught Marcel Marceau being as I say, perhaps the most and maybe the only truly world famous meme, famous for hating wind. He was walking against it all the time. So all guesses are wrong, and we actually have to hear the case. Jesse, you bring this case against your father. You would like me to prohibit him from having a mime at his own funeral. Is that correct?
That's correct. All right. And I recognize what a strong request that is in bringing the case against him, that it's traditional in our culture for a person to set their own last wishes for their funeral, their wake.
You're asking me to allow you to disregard your father's own dying wishes.
Well, what I'm hoping, that's pretty harsh, and I think to, well, although no, accurate, I not, guess. Yeah.
How old are you, Jesse?
I'm 32.
You are 32 years old. And Joseph, your son is 32. How close to death are you? What is your age?
I am a very young 73. 73. Yes. Yeah. How did that happen?
You had to think about it because probably yesterday you were 62.
Yesterday I was 58.
And when you say you're a very young 73, you sound very spry. And so far you've been able to use the impossible technology of Skype correctly. So good for you. Most 32-year-olds aren't able to do it. So well done. But you say you are young. You are young, so young at heart that you would like to have a clown at your funeral.
Not a clown, Judge. I want a mime. There's a difference.
Explain the difference to me and the listeners in this fake courtroom.
Well, everyone is afraid of clowns and everyone hates a mime. The thing is that I have a vision of clowns on unicycles.
You don't want to terrify your mourners. You want to unite them against a common enemy.
yes, I want to distract them.
All right.
I want to distract them. I went to a memorial service for a teacher friend of mine, and at his service, there was a woman who was signing for his deaf son, and I was so distracted watching her because I didn't understand her that I wasn't able to even listen to what the rabbi was saying. And I thought, what a great, great idea. What a great distraction. If I could have a mime at my wake, I could just imagine what it would be like when that mime shows up with my family, 25 Italians all talking and screaming at the same time. It would be a great distraction.
That's what it's a terrible stereotype, but it's true. Italians talk scream with their hands.
that's true.
It's more than just their hands, Judge.
Yeah. So let me back up here for a second. So you mentioned that your friend who passed away was a teacher. You're a teacher as well, or do you still teach?
I was. Mm-hmm. No, I retired. I taught junior. One of the reasons I'm young is I taught junior high school English for 23 years and high school English for another 10. So there's a little bit of that immaturity. That's what some people say.
This is what teaching middle school kept you young?
Yes, it does keep you young. I still enjoy bathroom humor, farty noises and stuff like
that. You don't have to explain bathroom humor to me.
Right.
I just assumed it was jokes about faucets.
Faucets and drains.
Right.
Yeah, tile work, a little grout joke here and there. Okay, and where did you teach junior high school?
I taught in Hicksville Junior High School on Long Island. Mm-hmm. And then I ended my 33-year career at the high school in Hicksville.
And so, Jesse, do you live in New York State somewhere as well?
No, I live in Boston.
In Boston.
I live in Jamaica Plain, and I teach in Brookline, actually, Judge.
You do? At a public school in Brookline, my hometown, or in a private school?
Teach at Michael Driscoll Elementary School.
Driscoll School. Okay, so now I've established where you all are in the world. Joseph, you let's go back to Hicksville for a moment. I'm very sorry that your friend passed away. You were distracted by the sight of a sign language interpreter who was at the funeral, and you thought, I would like a distraction. Now, you could have had any kind of distraction. Another sign language interpreter for your funeral? Perhaps there'd be some reason for that. Maybe someone just doing semaphore. Or making sound effects a la Prairie Home Companion, but you chose a mime. Why a mime?
Well, if you're a good parent and your children love you, the last thing you do to them is make them cry. So I thought, I certainly want my children to cry, but after they cry, I want them to laugh. So what a surprise it would be to have in the midst of all of this crying, because I assume there are going to be a lot of people there who are going to miss me and who are going to cry, to have a mime appear, unexplained, unintroduced, just appearing in his white mime makeup with a little tear painted on under his eye and the striped shirt, and just come in and do mimey things, eavesdrop on conversations, be trapped in a box. As I will be trapped in a box, and so forth.
It's a metaphor for you. Your inability to escape death.
Okay. All right. I was an English teacher. Grant that.
unlike the one time I took a Shakespeare course with the great Shakespeare scholar and literary critic Harold Bloom at Yale University. And I only took one semester of it, and I only said one comment. It was some totally banal interpretation of Macbeth or something. And Harold, where every other teacher in the world would say, "All right, that's an interesting idea. Let's explore this a little further." Harold Bloom said, "Oh no, my dear, you're wrong. That interpretation is incorrect." And moved on to a smarter student. But thank you for yesing me along. Unlike the cruel Harold Bloom, with my use of meme as metaphor for death. Because the thing about mime is that unlike a clown or a stand-up comedian or frankly semaphore, they're not designed to be hilarious. They're designed to be provocative of contemplation and weirdness and silence. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Does that play into your thinking, or you just wanted something weird to happen?
I just wanted something weird to happen.
Yeah. I don't think you thought
it
through.
Sounds about right.
I don't know. I don't know whether you thought this all the way through then, because a good meme has never made anyone laugh, and arguably neither has a bad meme. And meme, by the way, for you listening along at home, I'm not obviously talking about M-E-M-E from the internet. I'm talking about the French pronunciation of mime, which is meme. It's one of my many dumb affectations. Jesse, you've heard why your father wants to, I guess his intention is to make you laugh in your sorrow and also surprise and confuse and disorient the relatives who weren't privy to this mime plan from the beginning, as you would be. Why do you oppose this scheme?
Well, I think, you know, my father said that he wanted there to be a distraction at his at the service. And I certainly understand the why a distraction is welcome when a loved one has died. But I think to have a mime at the service that entire time would make it very difficult for people in the room to take his death seriously and to use that space and that time, which is what we set aside in our society when someone dies. That is the appropriate time to be sad, to allow oneself to fully feel the death of a loved one and the awfulness of mortality, and to be with family and loved ones and to have support and to go through that awful feeling. And I think to have a mime there would make a joke of life.
Is it typical,
mortality?
Is it before you go? That's very thoughtful. Is it typical of your father to make a joke of life?
Everything that comes out of my father's mouth is a joke. And
would you like that to not be the case?
It's been a point of some conflict between him and his children, and I think between him and others.
Excuse me, Your Honor. Excuse me.
Is this an objection?
Yes, it is. That's hearsay. Jesse can speak for Jesse, but he can't speak for the other three.
When I've heard from the other three that they also have said that you sometimes don't take things seriously when they wish you would.
Wait a minute, Jesse. They said this?
They've expressed this
and
as well.
You heard it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's here. That's hearsay. Sustained. Objection is sustained, Jesse. You can only speak for yourself.
Thank you, Judge.
But Dad, you can't pretend that this isn't a part of your personality, a sort of a constant for you.
Before you accuse your father of anything, I want you to be very clear what you're accusing him of, which is to say what aspect of his personality are you trying to identify here?
I think he has a tendency to jump to a joke, either when being defensive or if the situation is awkward or if, you know, whatever it may be, when a joke is easy and maybe diffuses the situation or shifts attention away or something. But where, you know, a more thoughtful, more constructive approach would not be to make light of something. I think that there are just some things that are more appropriate to take seriously. You know, my father, I don't think he's quite thought this through. Like you said, Judge, that he's making a joke. There wasn't a deeper metaphor here, despite him being an English teacher. It's a joke. And
wait a minute. Are you saying that he's not sincere in wanting to have a mime there?
I think he's excited about the unexpected nature of it. And I completely appreciate the humor. Don't get me wrong. I'm being very
I find
serious.
That hard to believe.
Yeah, you sound like you're really yucking it up.
you're
out of control.
By the way, what do you teach up there in Boston? Good old Yankee humorlessness? By the way, Jesse, I'm sure you do have a sense of humor. I'm sure you do appreciate the humor, but let me get some more details here from Joseph. Now, where in the course of the ceremony, first of all, what kind of funeral service do you anticipate having? A religious service, a graveside service, non-religious? What do you anticipate?
Well, I will be cremated. However, it's traditional to have a wake. It used to be a 3-day wake. I'd settle for 1 day. Mm-hmm. Jesse, I love you dearly, Jesse. Jesse is very serious, but he also has my sense of humor, which is very interesting. He said that I'm making a joke about life. I'm really making a joke about death. Being dead sucks. I'm not looking forward to it.
Objection, Your Honor, hearsay?
Overruled.
Thank you,
Look,
Judge.
I'm already allowing a million objections in my own mind because I asked Joseph a specific question and he's starting to go off on how death sucks, and I'll let him out of deference for fatherly wisdom, age, and courtesy to those who are closer to death than I. Please go on, sir. You were saying being dead sucks.
Well, Jesse envisions this as being an ongoing thing with a mime appearing for 2 days, 3 days, hanging out with the family and stuff. I'm thinking more along the lines of everyone is there, they all talk, and in out of nowhere comes this mime and just passes through the crowd, you know, and just sheds tears and is trapped in a box and walks against the wind and pulls the rope and then breezes through the crowd again and disappears.
How long do you anticipate the mime act? Well, in the course of the day, a day long observation of mourning, there will be You're going to be cremated, but will your urn be in the room?
Oh, this will be before I'm cremated. I want to be there to see this.
Oh, I see.
I don't think that's an option.
Can I just clarify a couple of things aside from your obvious insanity? When you're talking about a three-day wake, No.
That was traditional. I'm talking about a one-day.
In what tradition are we talking here?
In my old Italian family background tradition, it was, you know, usually it was a two-day, sometimes three-day. It's been scaled down.
Give me a timeline. First of all, you pass away painlessly in your sleep, dreaming of an intimate encounter with a loved one.
I had a scenario, but I'll take that.
Oh, what's your ideal scenario?
With a young loved one. Mm-hmm. Is what I was thinking.
Let's settle for the dream. Let's settle for the dream.
and then, you know, usually the viewing is from 2 o'clock, from 2 to 4, and then from 7 until 9. And let's say not in the matinee performance, but in the evening performance, the 7 to 9, the mime would appear. I would say the whole thing would probably take 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and be gone. And then 10 years later, people would say, remember that wake we went to? I don't remember who it was, but it was a mime. There was a mime at that wake. And this is what I want to leave people with.
They probably wouldn't remember who's...
Right, it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter, but they would remember the mime.
Uh-huh. They would remember the court case afterwards when whoever the mime sued for punching him.
Well, that's... I think Jesse raises a good point. How important is it to you? I mean, obviously, if I grant your motion and allow the mime, Jesse will know.
Correct.
But you would like to keep it a secret from as many of the other people there as possible. How important is that to you?
Well, I've already kind of spread the word around to several of the people. One of my nephews who might just haul off and hit a mime. I already pre-prepared him for the possibility of a mime showing up to diffuse any possible violence.
And what was your violent nephew's reaction to that? Did he punch you?
No, he laughed. They all, anyone who knows me,
right,
says we wouldn't think you would have it any other way than to have a mime at your wake.
Objection, hearsay. I don't know if those people said that.
Okay.
Do you have any affidavits to present?
No, I have no affidavits.
Jesse, 15 minutes of mime in a 2-hour viewing period is not acceptable.
That is less than I thought it was going to be. To be honest with you, Judge, until a few months ago, I was really hoping and thought that this was just a long time joke that my father was telling. Mm-hmm. 'Cause he's been saying this to the family for years. And it wasn't until I called my older sister and said, "Say, so how about this mime? Is this for real?" And she said, "Yes." And she has documents from my father, you know, requesting, you know, with the directions to hire a mime after his death. And he has provided a CD with a soundtrack and everything.
What soundtrack?
I put together a last list, which was music that I wanted played, and on it is Warren Zevon's Lawyers, Guns, and Money, Desperado,
yes.
Who Knows Where the Time Goes.
We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel.
That's good. By the way, Billy Joel is a graduate of Hicksville High School.
Yes. Why do you think I made that joke? I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't know that. That's good to know. Good to know.
So I've carefully gone through this. Again, it's a mixture of sad and funny songs, and I thought it would be in keeping with my personality. As I said, I still have a junior high school mentality.
Okay, Joseph the Ham, what else you got going on at your funerary hoedown? Fake snakes in mixed nuts cans?
No. It's a mime. I'm not.
Are all the drinks going to be served with fake ice cubes with plastic flies in them?
How many Italian funerals have you been to?
Two, but not, I don't think, as involved as yours.
It's a wake, actually. The funeral is a whole other thing.
Right.
But it would be, you know, just a gathering of...
Well, I'm sorry. Are you accusing me of not taking your funeral seriously?
That's exactly the point. I don't want the funeral taken seriously. I would like to be taken seriously.
But Dad, first of all, nobody takes you seriously. So that's just not an option. That's not going to happen, mime or no mime.
Well, I take that as a compliment. That's my intention. My intention, you said I always go for the joke. I want to leave you laughing. If you cry, and I know you, Jess, I know you're so much like me. You're very sensitive. And despite this whole thing, there is a deep sensitivity to me. We are very much alike. But after that passing, and I'm not looking forward to this, you know, I'm really not looking forward to this. But after that passing, at some point, you know, when you're 50 years old, 60 years old, and you think back and you say, you know, my father was really crazy, but I loved him. He made me laugh. What more could I hope for?
I guess I feel like if there was not a mime there, there would still be opportunities to find humor in, to acknowledge the absurdity of mortality. And to find humor in life and in death. And I think...
What would those opportunities be? Pitch them to your dad.
In speeches that people make at the wake, I can't imagine delivering a straight speech at his wake. That wouldn't make sense.
But already written what I want you to say.
Hold on. Let me finish my thought before I forget it. But I think having a mime there changes the tone of the entire event. And in a way that, whether or not it's your intention, I think may make people feel as though it's not okay to be sad, that the expectation is to be laughing and jovial, when I think it should be a safe space where people can be sad, where people shouldn't feel social pressure to have to laugh and smile.
I take your meaning that you want people to feel comfortable in whatever feeling they're having, and that the mime would be an unpleasant distraction, a confusing distraction rather than a pleasant distraction. Joseph, let me ask you a question here. You keep saying that you want to leave people laughing, you want to leave people laughing, you want to leave people laughing. And I think that there's a lot of merit to that. But is the joke here, like, look at this goof. He got a mime, the worst thing, right? Or is it that you actually have a love for the art of mime? Do you have a relationship with the art of mime that is meaningful to you?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a love with the relationship with the art of mime. I just think it's... A mime is so contrary to the event, mm-hmm. the funeral, the wake, that you have to see the absurdity, the humor, the, my God, what is it with it? What, he had a mime at the wake. When people talk about it, and I hope they will, they'll say, wow, that was really unique. I have a friend who plans to give out little keepsake keychains with his ashes in them. Mm. I thought, what a great idea that is. My ex wants her ashes to be compressed into jewelry that our daughter and son will wear. That's her plan. I don't think a mime is that far out of the ballpark here.
Are you trying to keep up with the Joneses?
Oh, no.
My friend's
not at
putting
all.
His ashes in some snow globes and giving them away. Why can't I have a mime?
My friend is getting his ashes put into an above-ground pool, but I'm getting mine put into an in-ground pool.
Now, I've done some research on this. I've looked up mimes, and they are listed.
All of this is invisible wind against which you are walking at this moment. This is a smoke screen. None of that matters. I know that you guys can probably scrape together enough money to hire a decent mime. I know that there are mimes out there, and I know that they're listed. I'm trying to get to the crux of why you want this mime, and whether it is worth the offense to your own son. Because the thing is, you want to leave him laughing, but your son is saying to you, it's not going to make me laugh. It's going to make me upset.
Well, he's going to be upset. I know he's going to be upset. Jesse's a very sensitive person, and I know that. But I think after he's upset and after he's cried and after he has worked through that, I think he will appreciate the humor. And because he does have that sense of humor, that's my sense of humor in him.
You said that you know what you want Jesse to read at your funeral.
Oh, no, I was joking.
Oh, okay. But
I said I had already written what I wanted him to say. No, that was
but
a
that's
joke.
That's not true. But you are a writer, and you have been planning this for some time, and some evidence was submitted to me, first of all, of a Photoshop of, I guess, you or some person representing you in a casket with a big white beard and a giant beer belly. And standing next to you is a traditional mime in a striped shirt, sort of doing jazz hands in front of your face. And we're going to put this on the website, obviously. Please go to MaximumFun.org, check it out, and you can see Joseph's vision. You made this Photoshop collage yourself, sir. Is that correct?
Actually, my face in the beard, that was part of a Christmas card.
Uh-huh.
And what I did was I took that top part with my face in there, and I put it in the coffin, and then I took the mime from an ad. I don't remember what it was. And
I can tell you exactly what it was. It was for State Farm Insurance. There are a couple of awnings in the background of this photo. I just noticed have the State Farm logo and name on there. You're secretly an agent for State Farm. Don't deny it, sir. Do the jingle like a good neighbor. State Farm is mime. All right. So anyway, people can go look at that crypto advertisement on the website. But also provided to me was a poem that you wrote, Joseph, about this very subject. Do you have this poem in front of you?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I have it up, Judge.
Would you read it for me, please, Jesse?
In the world without me, the sun still rises and shines. The moon paces through its phases, shows up sometime, confused in the daytime, but mostly at night. The stars remain obscured by New York City light. My adult children wake and sleep and work and maybe feel me there and gone and cry or laugh or both. My friends who haven't left the world before me might remember that wake of mine with a mime, that wake with a mime. Unexplained, walking against the wind, trapped in a box, engaged in a tug of war, listening to conversations. If my adult children followed my last wishes and didn't just yes me to death and after decide what's best. My adult children, embarrassed sometimes, who made excuses for me frequently, indulged me often, accepted me flawed mostly, and gave me my silly life meaning always.
Do you remember writing that, sir?
I do. That's a very good poem.
This is my father.
I'm in tears. I'm in tears here. Wow.
This is copyright 2013, Joseph E. Scalia from Poetry in Alphabetical Order, published by State Farm Insurance Press.
Available as an ebook.
But most importantly, as I say, copyright 2013. It is as we record this, it is the very beginning of 2016. This has been on your mind for some time. It is established via documents. And I think I've heard everything that I need to hear. I'm now going to moonwalk back into my chambers and silently peruse the evidence, and I'll be back in a moment with my decision.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman exits the courtroom. Jesse, how do you feel about your chances in the case here?
I know I'm making an extraordinary request to deny a person their last wishes. I feel like my case is meaningful to me, and I feel like I have presented my honest feelings, and I also feel that my father rather speaks for himself.
Joseph, how are you feeling? And follow-up question. Is it weird that I was really enjoying that lovely poem until I felt like it took a turn for the spiteful and made me wonder if this entire thing wasn't just an opportunity for you to be preemptively resentful of your own children?
I don't know how you could even feel that. I was moved by it. And I remember my state of mind when I wrote it. It was expressing to my children that with everything else that I've had in life, they are the ones that gave my life meaning and do give my life meaning. And then, of course, the mime, if the mime was there. I don't even know that the mime will be there. But I was not... I was not throwing sand in their faces.
We'll see if that has any bearing on the case when we come back in just a moment. You're listening to Judge John Hodgman. I'm Bailiff Jesse Thorne. Of course, the Judge John Hodgman podcast, always brought to you by you, the members of MaximumFun.org. Thanks to everybody who's gone to MaximumFun.org/join, and you can join them by going to MaximumFun.org/join. The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by Stitch Fix.
You know that boost of confidence you get when you put on an outfit that just feels good? You know what that's like. That's what I get when I use Stitch Fix. With Stitch Fix, you get a human stylist, not AI. A human being who understands your style, size, and budget. They do all the shopping for you, and it's the easiest way to update your wardrobe this season or any other.
This professional stylist picks the clothes. They can either send you a box where anything you don't want is unbelievably easy to return, or they can make a little storefront for you just from stuff that they recommend for your taste and your body. It is an absolutely incredible service. They give you styling advice, outfit recommendations, the whole thing. Soup to nuts. And like I said, if you don't want it, if you don't like it, it is unfathomably easy to send it back. They give you an envelope that's big enough, that has the postage and the labels on it. All you have to do is shove the thing in there, close it up, and drop it off at your local mailing center. It is that easy.
Can I also say the stuff that my stylist at Stitch Fix picks for me? I really like it. Like, they know me, and it's really terrific. Plus, if you've got small people in your life, sadly, my small people are now adults shopping for themselves. But if you've got little kids, it's a terrific way to get togs for your kids. Style that makes you feel as you want to look. Get started today at stitchfix.com/JJHO. That's stitchfix.com/JJHO. stitchfix.com/JJHO.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by Aura Frames.
Hey, Mother's Day is coming up. Do you have a mom in your life that you'd like to celebrate? There are very few better ways than giving an Aura frame to someone you care about. These are beautifully Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos of your memories with your mom, stepmom, mentor, friend, whatever it is in your life who might enjoy seeing photos from your life. Aura frames are the way to go.
Judge, there's a very special mom in my life, Ms. Teresa Thorne.
Yes.
That's my wife and also a whole human being in her own right. Guess what's on her bedside table? Yes, that's right. You guessed it in one, an Aura frame. What I love about the Aura frame is you don't have to load a bunch of stuff onto an SD card or whatever, like with the old digital frames. It is so easy to get the pictures on there. So like when Teresa texts me a cute picture of one of our children or our dog, or one of our siblings texts us a cute picture of one of them or one of their children, all I have to do is hit that share button on my phone and I can share it right to the frame and then it lives there for as long as I want. I can also take it off whenever I want, but I don't even have to open the Aura Frames app, which is a great app, but I don't even have to go there. It just goes straight into wherever I want it, whichever frame I want, or I have multiple Aura Frames in my house, or all of them. It is incredibly easy. That's why Wirecutter chose it as the best digital photo frame. That's why it's one of Oprah's favorite things. It is guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame.
That's A-U-R-A frames.com. Use the code Hodgman at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Please rise as Judge John Hodgman re-enters the courtroom.
When I first heard the subject of this case, I think listeners of to this podcast and viewers in the galleries of this fake court can easily guess. And my first instinct was, yeah, of course there's going to be a mime at this funeral. It's someone's dying wish. And also, it's cool because mime is a very unusual form of clowning. It is the least funny form of clowning. It is the most contemplative and often saddest form. And you may not surprise you to learn that that I saw Marcel Marceau perform in Boston. I can't remember which theater it was. I was 13 or 14 years old. Tim McGonigal and I went on one of our affected, pretentious young dude dates to go see Marcel Marceau. And it was, although mime itself, particularly as practiced by Marceau, is something of a stereotype now, there's no question this man had incredible physical precision and control over every aspect of his body and a deep emotional component to what he was doing that was very rarely funny and very often moving. And Marceau himself said, "I've designed my style pantomimes as white ink drawings on black backgrounds so that man's destiny appears as a thread lost in an endless labyrinth. I've tried to shed some gleams of light on the shadow of man startled by his anguish." And so there was something very apropos, unexpectedly, your father, Jesse, comes to terms with his own surprise and startled anguish at appreciating that he's not 53, as he thought he was at the beginning of this podcast, but is now 72 and soon older. And when that happens, you start trying to take, it's a profound emotional experience to start trying to take ownership of one's passing. And and so in many ways, having a mime seemed very appropriate. And this is before I even knew from the internet this morning that in ancient Roman times, mimes were a very common part of aristocratic and Roman funerals, where part of the process of mourning the dead, aside from hiring professional mourners, which I really hope you're going to do. I hope you're going to hire a bunch of women to wail and throw dust in everybody's eyes, was to have a silent, essentially mime. It's an anachronism to say that it was actually a mime because the term wasn't invented till much later, but to have a silent performer wearing a mask of the deceased, enact memorable moments of that person's life in mime form, in silent mime form. There is something very much of death in the art form of mime. And so as I thought about it more, my conviction deepened that this absolutely should be part of a funeral ceremony. But then I heard you, Joseph, and I started to think twice. I started to think twice. The moment that, and I know you were joking, but jokes, I trust you agree, are designed to reveal deeper truths. And I said, you're going to, you know, an ideal death would be to pass painlessly in one's sleep, dreaming of an intimate encounter with a loved one. And you said, no, that's not how I want to go. I want to go awake while having an intimate encounter with a young person. And I know you were joking, but it really crystallized and becruxed something to me, a term I just made up, with regard to this whole issue. Because quite honestly, if you had your wish and you died while having an intimate encounter with a beautiful young person, that would be fun for you, but horribly traumatic for the other person. And as you prepare for your memorial service and defining how you want to be remembered, of course, it is absolutely your decision. So as you consider your own death and prepare for how you are going to be remembered, it is totally appropriate to be selfish. You know, it's perhaps the last expression of self that you have to offer the world. And yet, one does not have a right to traumatize the folks that are left behind. You don't have a right to traumatize them. I know that wasn't your conscious intention and is not your conscious intention. You dropped some clues, nevertheless, that raised red flags for me. One of them was the idea that the mime was going to surprise everyone. And that it was going, the mime, presumably a male mime in your imaginings, was going to walk through and take everyone by surprise and really give everybody, throw everyone for a loop. And while a funny prank is a funny prank, I think you can hear in Jesse's voice the anxiety that maybe this isn't the best time to throw people for a loop, because they're incredibly emotionally vulnerable. And I heard a emotional vulnerability in Jesse's voice, and it's not even your funeral yet. You know, it's a hard it's a hard bunch of emotions to process. And if you throw a mime in there as a prank, then you're not necessarily, whatever your intention is, you're not necessarily sharing a joke with people that will leave everyone laughing. There, I think, a strong possibility that some people feel that you're playing a joke on them from the grave. And similarly, backing up this fear that I have about your motives, conscious or unconscious, is the fact that you consider the mime to be a punchline. In other words, you're thinking of a stereotypical mime, that's just so out of nowhere and such a non sequitur that it's just a great big grand goof. And when I consider that your intention is to just have a big grand surprise goof, you're right, it'll leave people talking, but it may leave some people crying and going, why did you do this to us? Why did you surprise us with this mime? In this regard, it seems somewhat disrespectful, in the same way that dying in the bed of another person might leave you happy, but the other person traumatized. The plan, at least in its current state of proposed execution, bad choice of words, I suppose, but as it's currently planned out, has a high potential for leaving your guests feel disrespected, and not least disrespectful to the art of mime itself, because I know more about mime as an art form, having done 2 hours worth of Wikipedia looking up today, than it seems you have engaged with. You didn't quote Marcel Marceau to me. If you'd come out talking Marcel Marceau going, I have spent more than half a lifetime trying to express the tragic moment, America, the world's most quotable mime, Marcel Marceau, then I would have found in your favor me. It's like, you have thought this through. And what it comes down to is the ambiguity that I think Jesse senses of your intentions. Is your intention here to create a provocative, lovely, irreverent play and upheaval of the reverence of the funeral service? Or is it just to have a big laugh at everyone's expenses? Now, I know that consciously you are going to say, no, I don't want to make fun of my grieving loved ones. That's not my point. But I do think that you haven't thought through your feelings about this or your intentions completely, because Jesse's already upset by it. It hasn't even happened yet. And so one thing about being an artist of any kind is that you have to follow your vision, right? But you also have to learn to take notes, sometimes difficult notes, sometimes people saying, yeah, this doesn't have the effect that you want it to have. And the truth is that you even have to take notes after you're dead. The note that your son is giving you is, I don't think this is quite right. And I think you need to take that note. I'm giving you that note too. All of that said, you wrote a poem about wanting to have a mime at your funeral several years ago. You really want this mime. The fact is that you can do whatever you want, no matter what I say, no matter what Jesse says. You get an attorney, you write a will, and that mime will be there. And I'm not going to stand in the way of a dying man, and I call you that because we're all dying men and women. Last wishes. But I am going to say to you this. It is the order of this court, and I encourage you to take this with all the gravity of a fake court on the internet has, that you, A, investigate your mime carefully, B, commission a work of art from a mime that is meaningful and will be meaningful to those in attendance. That is to say, don't just get a cliched mime for the sake of the mime. Imagine how that mime would feel. You're making a joke of that mime. If you want a mime at your funeral, you go out there and you start seeing some mime in action, or at least go on YouTube. Cultivate a relationship with the mime that seems most attuned to your creative process, and commission him or her to create a short work to perform at your funeral. And that work can be funny, and that work can be sad, if and or both. And make your intention known to everyone who may attend, so they're not getting surprised with a mime, but in fact see and understand the mime in the context of a large and final expression of self with which you wish to leave them. So I am finding in favor of the defendant, Joseph, but I am giving you strict orders to take this joke seriously and consider your audience thoughtfully, or don't make the joke at all. This is the sound of a gavel. Get it? It was silent. There was no sound. Judge John Hodgman rules. That is all.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman exits the courtroom. Joseph, how do you feel about the ruling?
Well, it gives me a lot to think about. I certainly have a lot to talk about to my kids and to Jesse, especially. I will definitely take what the judge said into consideration and maybe rethink this and maybe retweak it a little bit.
You understand that the judge's ruling is binding, right?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Jesse, how are you feeling?
I felt conflicted asking the judge to prevent my father from doing this. And I think he was wise not to force my father to change his last wishes, but to order him to seriously consider the impact that they will have on the people who will be there.
Are you a fun guy?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm a human being.
Oh, damn.
There's your answer.
Whoa. I had to come out of chambers for that one. You know what? You can't see this, but I am miming a huge slow clap for you, Jesse. That was intense. I liked that a lot.
Jesse is very intense. And in fact, we always talk about when the family gets together, being a Jesse or doing a Jesse. And we say that with love and with respect.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes with our tongue firmly planted in our cheek.
But this is the thing, you know, I heard a lot of weasel words from both of you around this. I am not suggesting that you think about taking the joke more seriously. I'm ordering you to take the joke as seriously as it deserves. Do you understand what I'm saying? Those are my orders.
Yes.
Not just
yes.
Think about it. And Jesse, you should get
yes,
out.
Sir.
You should a gentleman who is a real human being like you probably would appreciate some serious heavy duty mime. You can see if there's some mime out there. I'm not ordering you, but I'm suggesting you can help your dad steer him in the direction of some really hot mimes. I bet there's some good ones out there.
It was very interesting to hear the role they played in Roman funerals.
Yeah, you get someone doing that. Oh boy. Other than be heavy. And it's a great joke. Jokes you take seriously are much funnier than jokes that you don't take seriously.
Mm.
Well, Jesse, Joseph, thank you for joining us on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
This was
thank you
terrific.
Very much.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Biz, and this is the final season of One Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting. This is going to be a year of celebrating all that makes this podcast and this community magical.
I'm so glad that I found your podcast.
I just cannot thank you enough for just being the voice of reason as I'm trying to figure all of this out.
Thank you, and cheers to your incredible show and the vision you had to provide this space for all of us.
This is still a show about life after giving life. And yes, there will be swears. You can find us on MaximumFun.org. And as always, you are doing a great job.
All right, class. Tomorrow's exam will cover the science of perfect pitch, the history of pride flags, and speedrunning video games. Any questions? Ah, yes, you in the back.
What is this?
It's the podcast Let's Learn Everything,
where we learn about science and a bit of everything else.
My name's Tom. I study cognitive and computer science, but I'll also be your teacher for intermediate emojis.
My name's Caroline, and I did my master's in biodiversity conservation, and I'll be teaching you intro to things the British Museum stole.
My name's Ella. I did a PhD in stem cell biology, so obviously I'll be teaching you the history of fan fiction.
Class meets every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
So do I still get credit for this?
No.
Obviously not.
No.
It's a podcast.
Judge Hodgman, you're going to have to talk. This is an audio program. Now, is as much of a violation of the mime's code as talking is. At this point, you're busted, you know? You're out. You're done.
Meow.
No, there's no such thing as a mime who just makes cat sounds, Judge Hodgman.
I'm trying to pioneer new pathways in meme.
This is a disaster. Well, look, how about thanks to Axel Kegler for naming this week's case?
I'll allow it. Thanks, Axel.
You should follow us on social media if you want to name a future case, at Hodgman and at Jesse Thorne on Twitter. Just like Judge John Hodgman on Facebook, and join us on the Reddit at MaximumFun.reddit.com, the world's friendliest Reddit subreddit community.
Maybe the world's only friendly subreddit.
There's probably a few others.
I have to thank our editor, Mark McConville, not only for doing a top-notch job editing this each and every week, but also for sending me, out of the blue, a holiday book, a old 1991 Wives Cookbook from the Hartford Whalers hockey team.
I saw that on your Tumblr. That was amazing.
I just can't stop thanking Mark for that. This is, you know, lots of times local sports teams, their wives, it's a very sexist thing, but this is another age, would get together and contribute their recipes for beans and franks typically, and then they would put the Hartford Whalers or whatever other logo on it, but of course Hartford Whalers logo is the best logo, and then they would sell it for charity, and Mark found one of these old things, and I can't, the portraits, I mean, they send in pictures of their families and all the mustaches and hockey haircuts. I love it so much. Thank you very much, Mark. Also, thanks to our producer, Julia Smith. Thank you, Julia, for everything you do as we begin this new year. Thank you for everything you've done in all these past years. And thank you to everyone who came out to see us at Sketchfest in San Francisco. What a fun time we had and what a great job we did. Of course, I'm recording this before it happened, so I hope that that's true.
I mean, it seems like a safe assumption. We had a great time and we did a great job.
That's right. I'm sure that that's exactly what happened.
It makes a pile of sense.
Thank you, Julia Smith, for being our producer, as always. Who else do we have to thank, Jesse? Anyone? No one, right?
No, I think we already thanked Mark McConville. And, you know, we're pretty well set. Oh, you know who I want to thank, Judge Hodgman?
No, who?
So a few weeks ago on the show, I mentioned that my menswear blog, Put This On, had started a store.
Yeah.
At putthisonshop.com. And yeah. I gave out a code, which was Bat Brothers.
Bat Brothers.
For free shipping. And actually kind of a lot of people bought things from the shop using that code. And I got a lot of really nice emails from people about the nice things in the shop. So thank you to those people. And that code remains active. You can go to putthisonshop.com and fulfill all of your scarf, vintage accessory and notion, pocket square, and baseball cap needs.
Well, that's fantastic, because all the gifts I got from my dad for Christmas and his birthday, which just happened, either didn't fit him or he already had them. So I got to get some more gifts for him.
Well,
so
good news for you, sir.
What's that code again for free shipping?
Bat Brothers.
And what's the website?
PutThisOnShop.com.
And what is the name of this podcast?
The Judge John Hodgman Podcast.
And how do we feel about our listeners?
We love them.
We love them. Thank you. Pretty good was what I was going to say, but we love them is better.
We'll talk to you next time on the Judge John Hodgman Podcast.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.